please take a moment to visit WUTC.org and make a pledge.
Talking about things that are really big, we have musicians in the studio who are going to regale you with music that, to say the least, is going to be really big. Something's playing. Oh, I see what it is. Wrong button. Okay. Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Other than wrestling with the computer, which is pretty much a daily occurrence, everything's good.
Bloody computer.
Yeah, that's exactly my feeling.
Yeah.
This is Paul Elwood. Paul plays a banjo, among many other things. A strange angel, as your Wikipedia page put it.
Yeah, that actually comes from a program that Susan Mayo, the cellist, and I play occasionally on a project called Strange Angels about paranormal activity. So, you know, it's things like descriptions of ghosts and energy ciphers and spirit animals, that sort of thing.
This inspires you to make music.
Yes, it does, as a matter of, well, somehow music doesn't inspire us to make music, does it?
Your band, I understand you're not that. Please introduce your band members.
All right, so we have Sue McKenzie on saxophone. She came all the way from Edinburgh, Scotland. And in fact, her plane was so delayed that she didn't get in until yesterday afternoon. We have Susan Mayo on the cello. And I'm Paul Elwood on the banjo. The three of us, we call ourselves multifarious.
I gather you're not that keen on that name.
Multifarious.
I know. You're not that keen on that name.
It's a good name.
Really? What does it mean exactly?
It's a good name.
I think it does what it says.
It's multifaceted.
Yeah.
Multifaceted. But for the longest time, I kept looking for us on the internet. I was looking for multifaceted, multiculti. What are we?
Well, I think the best way to answer that question is for you to play something.
Let's play something. Yeah. This is a song called Kachina. Thank you.
Multifarious, our guest, who will be playing at Barking Legs tonight. I know, you're just getting warmed up, aren't you?
I'm sorry, can we do that one again?
Sure.
Everybody out there, just erase whatever you just heard.
Yeah,
let's try it again.
We'll wind back the clock and start over. Well, you know, with somebody who is inspired by the paranormal, that doesn't seem like that much of a stretch, really.
And how many normal are there? Just a pair.
Oh. Grew up in Kansas, huh?
I did grow up in Kansas.
Is that where you learned to play the banjo?
I did.
Do you play Earl Scruggs style? It looks like you do.
Oh, yeah. Are you... Yep.
That's not what inspired you to pick it up, is it, that show?
It actually is. I actually went to see... Steve Martin was actually the opening act, and nobody knew who he was at the time. And Earl came out after that, and then David Bromberg, and then the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, and I was pretty much committed to the banjo after that. But also, I've done a lot of playing with the cellist Susan over the years, like the last 35 years. Whoops, I'm sorry. That's tipping. That's telling everybody how old we are. Sorry, kids, we're old. And the two of us have actually played. We played in a country band in the,
we played
in the
80s.
Pilot Jack Knight. It was kind of a psychedelic country band. And then Sue was Symphony Sue in a band called the Rhythm Rangers, with Hat Man Jack who did the primary vocals, and
Vintage Country.
Yeah, but they also did the Ramones, as I recall.
Yeah, they have a few.
Yeah, and Sue, I don't know your story. I only met you about 3 years ago.
My story is so dull compared to all of that. I got into playing saxophone, mainly, slightly ashamed to admit, my dad had a double LP of Glenn Miller.
He does.
He did. And it was on the front, there was this most beautiful kind of colorized photo of the saxophone section in the Glenn Miller big band. And I just remember, I was maybe, I don't know, 9, 10, and I remember hearing that sort of section sound and just being completely blown away. And from there was an obsession. It was like, that, whatever that is, that's what I want. I want to do that.
You like that combination of voices,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, right? Just that.
So
that
powerful,
whole,
isn't it?
Yeah, the kind of harmonies that they wrote.
Yeah.
And just the sound of a saxophone section together. It blew me away. Certainly when I was a teenager, I used to play in a lot of... At that time in Glasgow, where I grew up in Scotland, there had been a huge tradition of the dance halls, the big bands, and that was kind of just tailing out. And I was really lucky to get the chance to play with some of the guys that had been playing for sort of 30, 40, 50 years.
Really?
These are
jazz bands, right?
Yeah. And I got the chance to, but you know, I would have been 17, 18, and these guys were all in their 60s and 70s. But it was a fantastic education. You know, you just turn up, huge pad of music to play through that I'd never seen. It was just sight reading one chart after another, after another, after another. It was a great introduction. Great, yeah.
Oh, it must have been like jumping straight into the deep end,
huh? Yeah. It's funny, we were talking about the Count Basie one more time.
Yep.
And I had never heard that original track. And we got to the end of that. And I had no idea. Somebody suddenly shouted, "One more time!" And I had already gone on to the next tune.
Well, and Susan Mayo and I are old enough to have seen Count Basie.
Really?
Back in the day, yeah.
Oh, that's
magical. I was sitting at home listening to my Jefferson Airplane records, and my dad came and said, "Count Basie's playing downtown tonight. You want to go?" And I said, "Yeah, that sounds great." And it was fabulous.
The thing with Basie is that kind of it's like the time is suggested. It doesn't. They don't accent it, and yet it's always there.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And that thing he does, he's only playing one note. You know, and yet it's so rhythmic and it swings.
Yeah.
How do you do that? You know.
Yeah.
It's all in the placement, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where he
absolutely.
Puts it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, who was the drummer I saw? Thad Lewis, Mel Lewis.
Oh,
Mel
wow.
Lewis was kind of the same way. He would just kind of like sit back behind the drums, and he didn't do anything much fancy, but the time was just dead on, and he drove the band.
Yeah.
You guys have got a good time. Bruce Kaplan was here yesterday. We were talking about you. And he was reaching for comparisons to what you do. And I said, well, you know, to me, it sounds like Bella Fleck. Bella Fleck, off the top of my head, is the only person I can think of who plays banjo with a sax player.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, no, he said,
I can't remember his name.
Jeff Coffin.
Jeff Coffin, yeah, that's right.
I actually tanked one time sitting in with Jeff Coffin. Yeah, I just completely tanked.
Jeff is so cool. He's a really nice guy, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Great player. I don't know. I can't imagine what he's like to play with, but I imagine it's a lot of fun because he's just so, he just kind of takes things as they come.
It's frightening when you tank.
I bet it is. It's like getting on a freight train, right? You just hang on.
Yeah, that's how this feels.
let's do Nice Folks.
All right.
What's it called?
Nice Folks.
Let me introduce you again. This is Multifarious, which is Paul playing banjo. And oh, that made a horrible noise. Turn that down a second. Sue playing saxophone. And if you have just joined us and you haven't yet heard Sue say anything, oh, man, beautiful accent. And Susan playing cello. This is Multifarious. They'll be at Barking Legs tonight. It's about 7:30, isn't it?
You're playing this 7:30?
Seven.
Oh, wait, hang on. This is Jonathan McNair, who's the one who's responsible for all this.
I know it. Thank you so much for bringing them here, Jonathan.
Listen, Richard, I just really appreciate you making time for us. So they're playing at Barking Legs at 7 in the lounge. They have Wednesday Jazz in the Lounge.
Right,
weekly. But they're also tomorrow night, 7:30, playing in Chaddick Recital Hall at 7:30. And that's a free admission concert. So, yeah. So tomorrow night, 7:30, Chaddick Recital Hall. Tonight, Barking Legs at 7 p.m.
Wow. And are you going to be doing anything else with these guys since you've got them here?
Oh, yeah. They.
I had a feeling you would be.
Well, they're going to come to the music department has a weekly gathering we call seminar for the students. And we can do all kinds of things. And so Multifarious is going to be there with the students tomorrow at 2 o'clock and, you know, hopefully entice some of them to actually come. And also get their minds open a little bit because, you know, all of these people do a lot of different things musically speaking, and they go all over the place. I mean, Susan is from Scotland, but she plays here. She's played, you know, all over Europe. Susan is involved in, you know, a folk-inspired trio, and then she plays with a string quartet that does improvisation, which is kind of rare for string quartet, and, of course, plays this. And then she plays in the Wichita Symphony. So, and then Paul, he's a composer. In his former life was a percussionist and as well as a banjo player and as you know has a great sense of humor. Paul writes music.
I beg your pardon.
In fact, when you were in Wichita, you had a band called the Sons of Rayon.
That's true.
And they would write commercials for local businesses that sponsored them. He's written and done, you know, radio dramas and just, you know, these people are just interesting people and have interesting careers.
No doubt. Thank you, Jonathan. And if you don't know Jonathan, Jonathan teaches composition here at the university. And I don't think Multifarious will need to open the students' minds if they've been hanging with you for a while.
Well, unfortunately, they don't all get to hang with me much outside of the music theory.
It's a shame. It's a shame.
But a little bit
goes a long way, I think, Jonathan.
If they take the composition class with me, then they have a good time.
I bet. So sorry, Paul. We sidetracked a bit. We're going to play a tune, right?
Well, we're going to play a tune.
You are, not me. I'm just going to listen to
you. Yeah. Well, yeah. You can join us if you want.
Well, you wouldn't want that.
So this is a tune called Nice Folks. One, two. Oh, one, two, three. Thank you.
6 o'clock, and the cab rolled by at 9.
Cool, multifarious, our guests. I'm listening to that. I think the first thing that occurred to me was to look to see if you're working from sheet music, and you are. And I'm just wondering how you write something like that. It went from the cerebral heights of improv into a second line almost effortlessly. And just, you know, it's like, wait a minute, how did we get here?
That part is not written.
To be fair, that statement is something that I think all of us think several times throughout a gig. How did we get here?
and how do we get out of this?
Yeah.
So the first two tunes, you did them from memory, right? So that tune and the previous tune, Kachina, you weren't reading.
No,
no, not really. I think they're just, you know, it's just the melody is there as a little bit of a safety net.
That's what I figured.
We end up over there and then 500 yards that way.
Yeah. That's why I'm so tired. So you guys have a new album, right?
Well, it's not quite finished yet. It's kind of at the mastering stage.
Yep. We went into the studio in Colorado, of all places. Yeah. When was that? Was that last April?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're hoping to have it out. We're going to Poland in April. We're hoping to have it out by then. So
Gonna play the Katowice
Jazz Art Festival.
That's right.
Yeah,
it's actually kind of like it's a little sexist. It's devoted to the artistic contributions of women. I guess I'm just sort of along for the ride, huh?
Absolutely.
Susan, if you point that microphone up toward you, it'll pick you up a lot better than it is right now when you're talking.
All right.
It's picking up your cello beautifully. And
okay, I'll just have to remember that.
I have to turn up. Became a huge fan of walking bass from, I think it was Leroy Vinegar, mm-hmm. was playing with Jimmy Witherspoon.
Oh,
wow, I've never
nice.
Heard anybody play the walking bass like that. You know? And Susan's doing it on the cello.
Yeah.
And it sounds great.
When I first met Paul in Strasbourg, I'd done a gig. We were all at this big saxophone concert, and I had just come off stage. We were having quite a large beer. After
quite a large several beers.
Thank you, Paul. And Paul, we started having a chat. We had never met before. And he said, oh, we should play together sometime. And I did that usual thing. Oh, yeah. Thinking I'm in Scotland, he's in Colorado and Marseille. How would that ever work? And I remember you giving me some CDs.
Yeah.
I have a confession I'm doing in the safety of a room where there's a large table between us. It was quite a long time before I actually put those CDs on. I'm sorry.
Great, fine.
And when I did, I started to, because I thought sax and banjo, that'll never work. And I put on this CD, and the very first tune, I was like, and I think I got in touch with you right away and said, okay, we have to try and make this happen somehow. And we did one gig, just the two of us. You came over to Scotland.
Yeah, up in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Right. And Edinburgh,
we had this lovely gig, and I thought, you know how, because it's quite weird, you know. I don't think we could call this mainstream, possibly. And I thought, how is this going to go down? And we had a really mixed crowd, and the place was packed, and everybody, you know, everybody had a really good time, and it just really worked. And then Paul went home, and I thought, well, that's the end of that. That was a nice gig. And he phoned me several months later, and he said, hey, I'm coming back to Scotland, and I'm bringing a cellist. And I said, really, Paul? Chill.
Really, Paul?
What, we banjo and sax is not weird enough.
Right.
And I really wanted to know, how is this going to work? And Susan arrived, and I was on my absolute best behavior, but not for long. And then she started to play, and she just sat down, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, wow, okay. Yeah.
That was my reaction too. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Yep. So, and it works. Or we make it work. I don't know. One of the two.
We think it works.
Yeah, we think it works.
Oh, I think it works great. Yeah. I think I've been to Edinburgh 3 times.
Yeah.
And I love Edinburgh. I think it's a beautiful town to look at, to walk around. Yeah. But one of the things that struck me about Edinburgh is that it was a bit like New Orleans. Just walk into some little pub. You know, it's basically just a storefront. And there's some bloke playing in there, and he's playing just wonderfully, and there's somebody singing. And that's true in almost every pub you walk into.
Yeah, yeah.
It's such a music town. So for you guys to go to Edinburgh and play this music, I'm sure everybody's like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
Never heard this before, but I'd certainly want to hear some more of it. You know? It's that kind of crowd, right?
Absolutely, yeah. It's a great music town. So
you grew up with what Jonathan calls as an open mind,
well,
musically?
I would say so. Yeah, I think, I grew up in Glasgow.
I know,
and
you
I would
said
say
that,
that's,
yeah.
That's, I think, even more.
Well, Glasgow's a music town too, right?
Yeah, a lot going on. I think I was just always quite drawn to the weird corners of the musical world. Mm-hmm. I studied saxophone, classical saxophone at the Royal College of Music in London. And I got really into that, and that's all about learning the repertoire and concertos and contemporary classical repertoire and learning to play beautiful phrasing and with a beautiful tone and perfect intonation. And that can become a real obsession. But then I started to think, you know, what in the middle of this beautiful tone, what's in the corners, what's behind, what lies deeper than that? And I eventually met some free improvisers from the Glasgow Improvisers Orchestra, and that opened up this whole world where I'd been kind of searching, and it was like, oh, there's all of this other stuff going on, you know? So I feel like I've spent a lot of my life trying to make the most beautiful sound, and then the other half trying to unlearn that, really.
One informs the other, though, I think.
Absolutely, yeah, completely.
And you probably couldn't do one without the other, right?
Precisely, yeah.
Is that true for you too, Susan?
Yeah, because I come from a classical background, obviously. Most cellists, although that's changing now, there are cellists, like, I have a friend, Eugene Friesen, that teaches at the Berklee School of Music, and he said he has kids that come in that their background is surely just playing by ear and they're not classically trained. But I'm definitely classically trained, and I just... You know, I had people that I wanted to play with. They were friends, and so I'd investigate what they were playing. And actually, one of the first things I did was with the saxophone player. Yeah, and he played me, it wasn't a saxophone, but it was Eric Dolphy and Ron Carter. Oh. There's a duo of them, and Ron Carter's actually playing cello on it. And I thought,
I didn't know he played the cello.
And I thought, okay, this is possible. So, and we did a lot of free improvising, which is a nice way, I think, for a classical musician to enter the genre, because you can be freed. And that's what I do a lot of times when I do workshop with classical players, because it's hard for them. It's hard to let go of, it's hard for me to let go of the page. So, but yeah, and then I met people like Paul. Like bluegrass, let's do bluegrass. So, and I just keep, and these guys are really kind, because I think both of them have this vocabulary and experience of improvising that is like really impressive, and they put up with me.
Oh.
Well, you know, they always say that the string players are the most conservative members of the orchestra.
Yeah.
And you know, there's the old saw that classical string players can't swing. You know.
Yeah.
Well, obviously you learn the light of that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank
Absolutely.
You. It's just a delight.
But it's also, it's a bit like what Sue was talking about, right? It's a mindset. And you learn to play it as a specific way. And I've had string players in here before, and they looked aghast at me. And I said, well, can you play without the sheet music? No. it never even occurred to them that you could do that. You know, their mindset is very much, you know, I play what's on the page and I play it the way it's supposed to sound, you know?
Yeah. It's like jumping off a cliff. But it's really fun, too.
I can only imagine,
The thing I love about this group is it's, you know, even some really straight-ahead jazz groups can be very conservative in their approach of how they solo and their articulations and all those things. And a cello is not really appropriate sometimes in that. I mean, you know, you have fiddle players that do jazz and you can try and emulate them.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's not what a cello is. It's not really a bass. It's not really a fiddle. Mm. It's in between. And so having a flexible group that can work with the texture and allow that is just a pleasure.
That's a really interesting point because, you know, in certain musical situations, you have a very specific role. Mm. If I'm playing in a horn section for something, then you have a very specific role in the kind of thing that you're going to play and the way that you're going to play it, and especially the way that you're going to, say, articulate it. And I think that's the real challenge. But it's a great challenge because it forces you to think in a completely different. It's like, oh, how am I going to play this line now? That I know how I would play it if I was on my own, but actually, if I'm going to play it with Paul on banjo, does that change it? It might not, but it might change it quite considerably.
Yeah, we were working on one of Sue's tunes yesterday, Galore, and trying to just figure out how to fit my bass line with what she was swinging with the tune. And then having banjo on top.
Yeah.
we still need to work on that before tonight a little bit. Yeah.
So how does it work, Paul? Do you give Sue and Susan a kind of outline?
Well, on my tunes? Yeah. I mean, it's kind of
How much of what you're playing are your compositions? So far, both of those were, right?
Yeah, and they come from different projects. The first one came from a project I did in Mesa Verde National Park a long time ago.
One, two, it's on. Somebody was saying that we're not going over the air, but we are. At least we appear to be, anyway. Yeah, we are. We are. All the machines are working.
So maybe I can, like, start using curse words?
No, Paul.
It's probably not advisable, no.
The first one was done for a project in Mesa Verde National Park. I had kind of my dream band. Hank Roberts was the cellist on that project. He plays with Bill Frisell quite a bit. And
fantastic cellist.
Yeah, and... Robert Mirabal was the provided the native element, and Robert Black was the bass player, and I think in the middle of Kachina, Robert Mirabal started running around and kicking dirt on us because he was part of the clown clan in his tribe, the other tune was actually written for a project with Famidou Don Moye of the Art Ensemble of Chicago. I met him in Marseille, and we did a record about several years ago, and it was just released, just released 3 or 4 years ago. So they come from all kinds of different places. So they're kind of like jazz charts, and you just hand them to the musicians, and the musicians just go, what do you want me to do? Huh?
It's great because some people that write tunes really have very definite ideas about will you do this, will you do that.
Yeah.
And Paul is never like that. He just gives it to us and says go. And I don't think I've ever heard you say I don't like what you're doing. You probably think it, but you never say it.
I've always been privileged to play in groups with musicians better than me. So, and this is no exception.
But there's been a really nice progression in terms of us as a group. We definitely started off playing Paul's tunes.
Playing what?
Playing Paul's compositions. Mm-hmm. And then I think we played one of yours.
And we're about to play one of hers now.
Yeah. Oh, are we?
Is that what we're going to play next? Okay.
Oh,
I thought we were
going to
do poets.
Oh, should we do poets before
Let's
you have to put down here?
Okay. But it was a nice, it's nice. It's encouraged Susan and I to start writing. So, you know, we each have a couple of tunes now. And I think that can be quite a difficult transition to make. If you've only done one person's compositions, but there's a kind of nice mix happening now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Paul's really, for a trained composer, it's really lovely to have someone who's so encouraging, you know, because I come along with a tune and I think, I'm not a composer. What on earth is Paul going to think? And he's just been really encouraging and lovely.
Yeah.
Oh, shucks, guys.
So what I'm getting, Sue, is... The first stretch was banjo player, and I'm going to play sax with him. So then you surmounted that and you started jamming with him. But then it's another leap to say, wow, I can write for this band.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Because it seems to me that writing for these two or for the three of you is pretty open ended, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You can take it almost anywhere you want.
Yeah, yeah, complete. But that also
that's not necessarily a good thing, right? No.
Exactly. Yeah, you can come up with a tune and think at the end of it, is this really how do we make this us in a way?
Mm.
So that's really interesting. But I think the lovely thing is, you know, we have all played so many different kinds of music with so many other musicians. But the really great thing, I think, with this is despite living in different parts of the world, it just feels really good and it works. And so it takes a long time to reach each other sometimes in terms of traveling, but it's always worth it. No matter how bad the traveling is, it is always worth it.
I think it's amazing. I mean, we've been together just over a couple of years and we've played together a lot.
Yeah.
and it's been amazing.
Let's see, we played in Edinburgh, we played in Glasgow, actually. We played in Zagreb and
Marseille.
Mm-hmm. And Greeley, Colorado,
yeah.
Wichita, Kansas.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now Chattanooga.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Poland. We're going to Poland.
Yeah.
And we are delighted to have you. And thank you so much
for
making the time.
Here. Thank you for having
us
on the show.
It's a real pleasure. Paul and Sue and Susan are together multifarious. They're at Barking Legs tonight in Chardwick Recital Hall tomorrow evening. And they're going to be regaling those students. And Jonathan was talking about opening their minds. Man, these guys are going to blow their minds, Jonathan. You want to play another tune, Paul?
Yeah.
This is a tune called Poets of Andalusia. Doesn't really have anything to do with flamenco, but it was kind of inspired by a program that they were talking about the roots of Andalusian music. So, all right. Thank you.
Multifarious, I guess. It's so much fun listening to what you play because you're such musical omnivores.
Can we
that's
use that?
Quote.
That's great.
there's a little bit of White Rabbit in that,
yeah.
Right?
I guess.
It's the
probably. Yeah.
You said it's Poets of Andalusia. Is that what
yeah.
you said?
Yeah.
So.
White Rabbit is in Jefferson Airplane, or White Rabbit is in...
You know, they were drawing on Bolero, right? But that sounds more like the stuff that... The roots of Andalusian music is the Moors, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's, what, North Africa.
Right.
And then there were moments when it sounded like we wandered into the souk, you know? One of those little markets in North Africa, you know?
Yeah, I once recorded a cover of that song in a warehouse in Marseille with another singer, just a cappella.
Nice. What, Right Rabbit?
Yeah.
Great tune, huh?
Yeah, it's a great tune. It really is.
It's so simple.
Of course you did.
but it's a performance tune, right? It's there's not a lot of it is just in the performance.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's written there isn't. It's kind of like what you do. You couldn't write what you play.
No.
You know? We're coming full circle here, but yeah. that's what it comes down to, isn't it? You can't really write it, can you? So.
No. And we do very often get to the end of a tune in a rehearsal and go, how did we do that?
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you're just better not to know.
I don't know. Do you know the trio, the Wood Brothers? It's Oliver Wood and Chris Wood, who's the bass player, and
sure.
He was with Martin Modeski and Wood for a long time. So on the new record, there's this one track, and they were just here a couple of weeks ago, and people listening are like, oh, God, he's going to tell that story again. But they play this thing, and I'm like, wow, how did they do that? The bass line is so slippery. And he said, Oliver said, I'm just so glad we recorded it, because I don't think we could play that again.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And that's the nature of music when you put three people in a room together and just start playing, right,
yeah.
without thinking about anything formal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just takes on its own life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I can see why you like doing this and why you travel half around the world to do it. You know?
Takes on its own life for better or for worse. Mm.
Well, so far it's been definitely for better in here, you know?
Well, it's fine because everybody will have different inspirations at different times
yeah.
to lead somewhere. And I think we all equally do that. And people are so flexible and willing to move with that. It makes it really fun. And the more we play together, the more yeah. it feels like the conversation is, we have a vocabulary that works.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so much of what you do is intuitive.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we can start off a tune with a certain plan. Cue hysterical laughter. There you go. That's how that usually works out. Yeah.
What I like is, I mean, I've listened to a lot of free improvisation in my life, and I've played with some free improv groups, but I've ultimately become rather tired of free improv because there's no handle. And what I loved about groups like the Art Ensemble of Chicago or the group that Lester Bowie was with in the 1970s, New Direction's, with Jack DeJohnette and Eddie Gomez and John Abercrombie, is they all had heads. They always had a head, and then they would go off into some sort of la-la land, and then they come back to the head.
So it's rooted.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really,
yeah, I like yeah. that sense of some kind of structure, you know,
yeah.
and some kind of harmonic structure as well.
Yeah.
Well, it's a New Orleans thing, isn't it?
Yeah, where, right.
Where you,
yeah,
you start with the yeah. theme, but then everybody gets to take it where they want to take it.
Absolutely.
But you come back yeah. to the theme.
Yeah. 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 I think that works, actually. Yeah. For me, it works better than just... Mm-hmm. Okay, so should we do a free improv, guys?
Well, please play something, Paul, because we're running out of time.
And okay, let's play something.
One more tune.
You guys
yeah.
have
monkey,
enough time
you,
to play at least one more.
I can, if you give me 2 seconds,
yeah.
absolutely.
I can tell you about this tune. For this tune, I did a project. My husband's from Pakistan, and I did a project with an artist. I'm really enamored with Pakistani truck art. They just decorate all the transport vehicles that's there. And I did a project with an artist in Kansas that had done a collaborative with a bunch of artists and turned a Kansas grain truck into a Pakistani truck. So we wrote music to go along with this, and this is one of the tunes. It's originally
cool.
for string quartet, but we're going to play it. Gir Mulki, which means immigrant experience, basically.
Thank you.
I could listen to you play all day. That's multifarious, our guest, Paul Elwood playing banjo, Sue McKenzie is the sax player, and Susan Mayo are playing cello. They are playing at Barking Legs tonight in the lounge. That's at 7. And at Traddock Recital Hall. I'm making Jonathan nervous because he thinks I'm going to forget the times, but I've got him in my head now. It's 7:30 tomorrow night, Traddock Recital Hall, 7 o'clock tonight at Barking Legs. 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, if you're a student here and you're lucky enough to be a part of Jonathan's composition class, they're talking about that.
May I have one more thing? All right, so Multifarious is here through a sponsorship by the Ruth S. Holmberg Professor of American Music, which happens to be myself, and the Department of Performing Arts at UTC.
Bless you, Jonathan. That's so cool. I'm so glad you did this. And we're almost out of time, but you did mention, Paul, that the you were a drummer before you were a banjo player.
Yeah,
right? Yeah. It showed on what you just did.
Oh, thank you.
And it struck me that I wonder if, you know, somebody conceived the banjo by putting strings on a drum.
Of course they did.
You know? That's how it happened, right?
I think that's exactly how it happened. And, you know, the banjo came originally directly to us from Africa, but my theory is that it actually came through trade routes from Asia, Vietnam, Japan, China.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
So,
oh, man, again, I could talk to you all afternoon. Paul Elwood, Sue McKenzie, Susan Mayo, thank you so much. It's been such a treat.
Thank you.
Support from Local Venture Legal, a woman-owned law practice specializing in transactions.